Welcome, listeners and viewers, to yet another episode of Disrupt Ed. I'm your host, Ron Stefanski, and we are here to learn what it takes to live and prosper and work with purpose in an entirely ginormously disrupted world. What do I mean by that? You've heard it before. A 5G wired workforce, augmented technology, interconnected, globally interdependent, AI accelerated, Web3 immersive, quantum computing, exponential, pandemic interrupted world of work. I mean, that's all going on at the same time. This has never, ever happened in our lifetime where change is happening so profoundly, so quickly, and poses more complex questions than ever before. Both to the good, there are myriad opportunities, and you're going to hear from a serial entrepreneur today who has a storied history of starting successful companies, and this world creates more opportunities for that, but it should also scare the hell out of you because there are potential pitfalls along the way. So we need those seemingly indisputable, seemingly ordinary humans who are out there doing extraordinary things to help us sort the way forward. Here we have today Joe Gagnon, serial entrepreneur, and here to talk to us about his journey in the world of work as a serial entrepreneur. Joe, it is so great to have you on the show today and to get you here to talk about all this stuff.
Ron, thanks so much for having me. Listening to that opening, you sort of wonder what kind of tools one needs to sort of navigate all those moving parts at the same time. I think I need a utility belt. I guess we'll talk about that. Huh?
Well, it's just, you know, I mean, you know, we're of a similar age. So wouldn't you say that to anyone starting out in the world? I mean, we never had it this disrupted, where you show up to work one day and someone's put Slack on your computer and you don't even know what Slack is. And people are communicating that way with you.
I think,
you know, it's happening so fast.
Yeah. It's also this idea, which is that, you know, if we go back just to the industrial era, when the person was important to the machine operated with the person, but in a very defined way. That's why we worked 40 hours. We turned on the factory. We turned off the factory. We went home. But we don't have that anymore, right? We're not running machines. We're actually sort of participating alongside the machine. The flow of information is 24/7. And it does take both some different perspective and a different skill set. It takes this sort of open heart and open mind. A curious person will do better. But it's certainly not a fixed mindset world that we live in anymore. I don't even think it's an abundance mindset. I mean, abundance is only one perspective of it. I think it's actually this ever-growing mindset of all of the possibilities that could happen, can happen, will happen. You got to be ready for them.
Well, and you know, to your point, I think sometimes I look back and I think it wasn't that long ago that. And one of those moments was when I was working in the book selling business for a big retailer, Borders Books and Music, and I was the director of marketing. And we used to have, you know, buyers getting ready based on all kinds of new news and information. You know, that impacted their buying, you know, habits and activities based on publicity. Someone was in the news, make sure their book's in the bookstore, you know, get that out today, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, I remember that I used to get to the office early on Mondays because I wanted to see what had taken place over the weekend and what, you know, we had to kind of get ready for. That's so antiquated. Yeah. I missed 3 days of news doing that. I mean, the world could have changed and we could have shut down the bookstore by then. You know, so the speed, the ubiquity of it, you know, that you're always on. The challenges that come with it and also the opportunities that come with it. But Joe, I want you to share a little bit about your origin story to give our listeners and viewers a sense of the kind of varied experiences you've had and what they've told you about the world of work.
Yeah, you know, I think, Ron, probably you've talked to a lot of guests who sort of wish that they had this whole thing. You know, you knew exactly what was going to happen. You know, and the language that we use today and how I would describe my life is probably more precise than the way it felt when I went through it. You know, I grew up in the Bronx. I went to school there. The Bronx is a suburb of Manhattan. We wouldn't call it a fancy place. 8 years there, high school, college, you know, started working in New York City, making $7 an hour as a professional. I mean, you know, this isn't that long ago, but it certainly was not an auspicious start to a career. I somehow fell into the idea of becoming somewhat of a programmer, but, you know, pretty much an invisible member of the workforce. Right? Just a guy working, taking the train to work, you know, girlfriend breaking up with you, all those kind of fun things that happened to us in our 20s. But what I found was that the more that I sort of opened up my mind to the possibilities as I touched tech, became a bit of a programmer, started playing around with the PC, started trying to understand software, the more the opportunities came, because there were a lot of people who were afraid of tech back then. This is
right.
In the 80s. And so I found, you know, like knowing this now, that sort of the curiosity that I had became sort of the, call it the catalyst for and the fuel for possibilities in my career. So people then said, hey, maybe you should come work here. And then probably the biggest breakthrough, I ended up at Ernst & Young as a manager. I ended up spending 10 years there, became a partner in the firm, was surprised by that because, my gosh, I was just this kid from the Bronx. How does that happen? And it was around the era, this is 95, 96, when the web started to come alive. And I got a chance to, someone said, back to, you know, my lead with advice to anyone growing in their career is just say yes and don't hold on to no too hard. Because if you say yes, people will ask you again and again. So someone said, hey, would you like to do this startup for us inside the firm? But we'll give you 50 developers, go do it. 2 years, we built this platform that looks today like a WebMD, ran out of money, then went back and did other stuff. After 10 years, I thought, you know, I should just go out on my own. And a bunch of my friends said, we're going to go do a startup. We did that in 99, and we did the go-go day thing, you know, 0-5 people to 300 people, zero revenue, $50 million, took the company public, sold it to IBM. It was nothing short of remarkable. And then I spent my 5 years at IBM running IBM's retail business globally and thought, man, this is amazing. But now, the other thing that was happening, Ron, is that I started realizing that what I was becoming was really good at work. Like I could work 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week. I could produce, I could sell, I could create. But I was wondering about me. You know, I was sort of, I wouldn't say obviously falling apart, but I was somewhat suffocating with the success that everyone had defined was the magic, you know, the country club, the BMW, the big house, the big check, do whatever you want. But I felt somewhat empty and I felt pretty weak. And, you know, the longest story short is I did a push-up and a mile running and both were hard. And I'm like, oh my God, this is a problem. So I set out on a path of saying, I need to build some more strength and resilience in me as a person while I'm doing this career stuff. The opportunity to become CEO of an early stage company came up. And that was how I started this CEO entrepreneurship, because I was willing to step in to the build the foundation of these businesses, raise money, look for customers. While I'm doing that over and over again, you know, I ended up continuing to lean into the athletics. You know, I started to do the Ironman races. I started doing marathons. I started doing ultra marathons, and I was building strength and resilience. I decided to start writing about it. Did 5 of these startups in a row. You know, some are very successful, Ron, as you would know, and some are just, they're never going to make it. It's not always
right.
A magical story. And all while still, you know, raising 2 kids, still married, you know, trying to keep all that going together. And I was kept realizing, you know, that the priority in life that someone told me when I was young was take care of yourself first, you take care of your family second, and you take care of your work third, because those other priorities don't get taken care of if you don't take care of yourself. So I started investing 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day in stuff that would help me become more resilient, have more vitality, have more persistence and grit and optimism and all those things that we wanted to have to be able to perform at our best. And, you know, the best sort of part of the story was in 2017, I started writing a book about this journey, and I thought, oh, how should I end the book? And I came up with this idea to run a marathon on 6 continents in 6 days. So that was a remarkable experience. I raised money for kids going to high school in Guatemala to get a tech degree. You know, I was on the Today Show and podcasts like this. And, you know, and when I went around the world, I found out that there's just a remarkable number of people. I had built the strength and resilience to go do this. To be honest, it wasn't really that hard because I was ready for it after all those years. And it kept cycling, you know, the bigger the challenge, the more interesting to me, you know, and I just kept platforming up, build a base. It's like a step function. Then push yourself to the next level, stabilize, push yourself. Ron, what I have found is that this system, which is us, works great when you actually push it, use it, tease it, strain it, push it to failure. It's so resilient. It wants to develop more and wants to make you better. And so the kid from the Bronx ends up accomplishing all this stuff. You know, I've run 50,000 miles. I've, you know, biked 100,000 miles. I've, you know, done 90 ultra marathon races. I've, you know, we just go through the list. This year I finished doing 150,000 push-ups, which is 450 a day. I've, you know, raised $175 million. I'm working on my next book. I write a blog a day. And I don't actually feel like it's any strain. It's like just remarkable what I have lived into. And so here we find ourselves talking today. And, you know, I feel like the most blessed guy in the world to have figured it out. And figuring it out is just about applying yourself in the best way possible. And magic sort of happens.
That's incredible, Joe. Now, let me ask you this, because listeners and viewers are going to say, you know, what about the off-ramps? What about the detours along the way? How did you face off with those?
I guess the way that I think about it is that we have one life, and there's going to be sort of these highs and the lows. There's going to be what we call suffering and pain. There's going to be strain. There's going to be reward. But aren't they all part of what we want to experience? You know, when I started the Six Continent Challenge, Ron, what I wrote to myself was the lows will be the highs. And I went looking for them because I wanted to experience it. It's like the sayings, gotta love to run in the rain. You have to embrace suffering. Suffering is not pain. You can't avoid pain, but you can actually internalize and appreciate suffering, which is our system responding to the circumstance. And so to me, all of that was part of the journey. It wasn't that I don't know, Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey talks about it often, you know, through the belly of the whale on the way to self-actualization takes that. Like there isn't a straight path up. We learn that over time, it's the ups and the downs. That's where we get defined. It's who we become. So off-ramp, on-ramp, look, we've all been laid off, fired, disliked, had to start over, lost our money, didn't have enough. All of those things happen. So if they happen, it's like, Ron, if we went and played football tomorrow, you know, the game says you're going to get tackled if you run with the ball. Like, that's life. It's just we just don't think of life as being tackled. But if you play football, it's okay. All these other things are just okay.
It's part of the game. Yeah, no. Correct. Right, right. That's a good way to look at it. When you think about it now, I want to ask you what you think about the following comment that was made by Arthur Brooks, who was ahead of the American Enterprise Institute for over 20 years and had a non-traditional path to his professional career as a PhD in social scientist. He didn't go to college until he was 30. The first dozen years of his career were spent as a jazz musician in Spain with his girlfriend, then turned wife. So he came into it late, but then he came into it powerfully, went to Harvard, had a very, very strong pedigree, did a lot of things. And Arthur Brooks says that by the time you're in your 50s, if you are pushing it and looking to do the next milestone in your job, you got it wrong. That the two things that you should be focused on are making way for the next generation and figuring out ways to help them get there, and then creating legacy around the body of work that you've done. And anything else is, you know, you're past your point of doing anything beyond that. How does that strike you?
Wow. I think maybe when we were living to 60, that was fine. I think if we're living a lot longer, I don't think I'd define myself that way. Here's what I would say as a counter. I think of life in sort of three phases. The base phase, first third, we'll call it, is establishing yourself as a person on this planet. The second phase is fitting into the community that you're part of. And the third phase is doing your best to serve the community that supported you. And so in that way, if Arthur Brooks is saying that part of, you know, sort of taking yourself out of the game is to support others, that's fine. What I would rather do is be available to the people as an advisor, as a coach, as a supporter, as the person from someone to learn from. But taking me out doesn't actually help the next generation establish themselves. I've learned a lot. Shouldn't I share that?
Yeah, I don't think he's necessarily. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I think he's less saying take yourself out, and I think he's more saying don't chase the next promotion. Don't chase that. Make your focus on others. Make your focus on creating legacy and helping others.
Yeah, I do think the legacy part, but I think that I think chasing money is always a problem because it's an outcome that has limited utility over time. I think that the role and capacity that one gets to play is probably a bit of a, you know, it's a relative statement, you know, whatever that promotion might be. But I do think that, yes, being supportive and participating in a different way, it's less just about us and it's more about as an individual, it's more about us as a community. Yeah, I absolutely believe that. Look, I spend a lot of time every week with people doing coaching sessions, helping them think about career, helping them answer questions, whether they're in the companies I run or they're outside of that. I think that the other part is we need to maintain vitality ourselves, right? So the body in our system, I always call about that because it's sort of funny. It's maybe not a religious way to think about it, but it is certainly a functional way to think. You know, my favorite analogy was a blog I wrote a long time ago, which is the rusty swing set. When your kids are growing up and they're on the swing set every day, things are beautiful thing in your backyard, and they stop using it. And 4 years later, you finally walk back there and the thing's a mess. It's rusty. It's falling apart. It is the analog to who we are as people. When you stop using all of your faculties and your capabilities, you become rusty.
They're falling apart.
Right.
Right.
So you still need to exercise. You need to think. You need to write. You need to participate. And as long as you're doing all of that, then you can be a good actor in the development of the next generation because you have a lot to say. And boy, no one ever has to learn the hard things the hard way. We should all help and support each other.
Right. When you were taking a breath as I was describing this 5G wired world, I'm curious what you were thinking in terms of how the speed of change and how the speed of what I would describe as gobsmacking technology, not just technology, but I mean, stuff that just blows your socks off. You know, I mean, you've heard it on Disrupt Ed here. We've talked to the CEO of a company that built a space balloon and is taking civilians up into space for six right. hours. You know, you've heard from a guy who, with his son, built an entire factory to create the world's fastest car, all 3D printed.
Yeah.
You know, you found all these, I mean, those are gobsmacking advancements. Jared Fink talking about cosmic wire and getting ready for Web3. No one knows about Web3, and it's coming. It's here. It's evolving into, the web is evolving into Web3. It's not a hard turnoff there. All these things are happening so much more dramatically and faster. That's the difference. They've always been happening all along, but never as dramatically and never as quickly. How do you think that's impacted your journey along the way?
First, I find, you know, I loved being an early adopter throughout, you know, back in the 80s using barcode technology so that we could check out faster in a department store was pretty cool. You know, using the web in the early days to buy food in a restaurant, I mean, throughout, right? But I think, you know, when I got into the Waymo recently in Phoenix and went from the hotel to the airport with no one driving the car, and I was sitting in the back seat, and this thing performed exquisitely, not like full self-driving in a Tesla, which feels like a 16-year-old driving. This was as good as me. It changes how you think about what's possible. This isn't about objecting to the change. This is about saying, wow, think about this. I just got 20 minutes of free time in my hands, right? Because I didn't have to drive to the airport, didn't have to think about anything. I could focus on what I wanted to do. And so it's about embracing the implications in this era of this rapid change. It's saying, wow, imagine if I had an AI assistant that I could use every day that changes me from working 8 hours a day to 4 hours a day. How would I use those 4 hours a day? If I have a team of people, how would they be more productive with some of these advancements? It's about becoming childlike with curiosity, wondering how that game works, and going so deep that you then transform yourself and what happens around you. That's what I think the opportunity is now for all of us.
I think that's a great way to frame it, because, you know, the world is uncertain, but we can still make our impact on it if we stay focused on what you're suggesting. You've been listening to Joe Gagnon talk to us about the journey and about being an entrepreneur and about being present in this disrupted world. Joe, any last minute thoughts for our listening and viewing audience?
Yeah. You know, Ron, every time I write something, I've been thinking about, like, why am I bother writing? And so I'm writing a new book, and the provisional title is Intentional Living, right? This is probably my biggest feeling about, you know, the ordinary to extraordinary. We're all ordinary. Some perform at extraordinary levels. Just put the word extra on. You're all capable of being extraordinary. Every single person, everyone listening to your show. And the way that you get to extraordinary is through intentional living. It is not being a rider on the back. This is not being passive. This is being active. Say yes. Don't hold on to no. Become a learner. Become curious. Have bravery, curiosity, optimism. Like, you can do so much more than you believe you can. Give yourself a little bit of time. Look, I didn't get to 150,000 pushups in a year, in a week, right? You know, it took 20 years. But what the heck else do we got going on here? But making ourselves better, because every time we're better, the community's better. Every time we become extraordinary, that's another role model for everyone else. So listen, we all have the capability. You got your lottery ticket when you were born. Just cash it on your journey. You're going to love yourself for it and have the greatest time ever.
You know, there's one item, and I know this from talking with you off camera, there's one item you forgot on that list in terms of living an intentional life of purpose and meaning, and that's pick the right wife. You've done it. I've done it. We've both married above our weight class, and we both are the beneficiaries of long marriages. I've been married for 38 years. You've been married for 30 plus years. Don't forget that.
I would say, Ron, but I bet you the same attribute. This is the secret to a long-term relationship. Each other celebrates the other and wants the person to be who they are, right? My wife has been the greatest supporter. I've written her a thank you note every anniversary. Thank you for supporting me and letting me be who I am, because then we can shine in ways you can't imagine. Do the same back to your spouse, your partner, whomever, because that's what we all want and need, and it's the best thing we could ever do for each other.
I love that message. I also love the fact that you can now ask your family and friends to listen to Disrupt Ed, and they can hear you talking about your wife in this glorious fashion. All our wives deserve that testimony. So thank you for putting it out there. But Joe, thank you so much for making time available on your incredibly packed schedule. It's been great talking with you and hearing your insights. And can you come back with us? We'd love to have you back in a few months and just check in on this journey of yours.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I would love to do that. I'm working on a couple of big projects in addition to the work stuff. We could talk about sort of more of this inspired living and what we can all do to make an impact. Love to do that, Ron.
That's a great, we've got the episode ready, folks. You heard it. So what do you need to do on your end, listeners and viewers? You need to get Disrupt Ed with us, okay? Give us your feedback. Tell us what you think and come back for more. Thanks, Joe Gagnon, for joining us. Until the next time, this is Ron Stefanski on Disrupt Ed. Take care, my friends.